Blog Talk Radio.
Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind, still you hear me when I'm falling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you told me who I am.
Oh Lord,
I am yours.
How many's glad to belong to him this morning? Hallelujah. I love this verse.
Who am I that the eyes that see my sin could look on me with love and watch me rise again? Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? Oh Lord, not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are.
I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you told me who I am.
Everybody sing, I'm yours.
I'm yours.
Yes, Lord, I'm yours.
I'm yours.
And because I'm his this morning, I can say this.
Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear?
Hallelujah. Say it with me now.
Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear?
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear?
Because I am yours. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Maybe there be that rise up against me, and many there be which say of my soul, they say there is no help for you in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter of my head. Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept, but when I awakened, I knew the
that sustain me.
Everyone, and welcome to Your Place. We want to welcome you to another show from Your Place. This is a continuation of messages that have empowered us in our relationship with God. As always, we open up the mics at the end of each show to allow you to share your questions and comments. Just push one on your phone, and we'll identify you by the last four digits of your phone number. We realize that many of you listen to our shows from the archives, and we want to thank you for taking the time to make this part of your schedule. The title of the message tonight is We Need a Spiritual Breakthrough by Anthony Mangan. We pray that this message speaks to you as it has to us. This message was preached at a church service, and we've done some editing to areas where there was long periods of worship by the congregation to make the show flow better for this format. We're working to try to improve the sound quality of these messages as we re-record them for the show. And now, Anthony Mangan.
Genesis, the 38th chapter, verses 27 through 30. And it came to pass in the time of her travail that, behold, twins were in her womb. And it came to pass when she travailed that one put out his hand, and the midwife took and bound upon his hand a scarlet thread, saying, This came out first. And it came to pass, as he drew back his hand, that behold, his brother came out. And she said, How hast thou broken forth? This breach be upon thee. Therefore his name was called Phares. And afterward came out his brother that had the scarlet thread upon his hand, and his name was called Zerah. My subject this morning will be, We Need a Spiritual Breakthrough. Would you say that? We need a spiritual breakthrough. Put your Bibles down. Let's give Jesus a standing ovation. Would you do it? Now let's do it like it's for Him. Let's shout with a voice of triumph. That's it. Let's give praise and glory and honor to Him. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Break in on us today, God. Get our hearts and our mind ready to receive Your Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated. Thanks again to the steering committee and to Mark leadership and to Brother Mitchell for the opportunity to be here with this great church and the convention. Breaking the sound barrier a number of years ago was the goal of every pilot. Many had tried in breaking through that barrier, trying to or attempting to, they had brought many to their death. But one day there was a man, all of you know the story, by the name of Chuck Yeager. And Chuck Yeager got into his aircraft, many not knowing that the night before he had broken his rib, began to fly against the wind. His plane was taking on the barrier. He said as he, being a pilot, trying to understand another pilot, he said as he was flying that plane, that the stick literally began to shake in his hand and his whole body began to vibrate and he began to shake. He said until it felt like that the airplane was literally going to shake to pieces. He said, and just at the moment when it felt like everything was going to totally shatter and everything was going to break, and he said, I knew that I was gone. He said, there was a loud sound. He said, and I broke through the barrier, and suddenly there was peace. He said, but what I want all pilots to understand is the turbulence was not gone. It was only moved from the front of the plane to the back of the plane. It was no longer in front of me, but it was behind me. The turbulence was still there, but I had broken through the turbulence. In the reading of the book of Genesis, we have the story of twins being born. And anybody that knows anything about childbirth, you ladies know, we men know a whole lot about it. But I had the privilege of going in with Mickey on the birth of both of our children and what excitement that is. But childbirthing is something else. And here we have two baby boys, and it was before hospitals and it was before special care units. It was in the day of midwives. And it looked for a while that one was going to be born in front of the other, because the Bible says that one was born. He stuck his hand out and the midwife tied a scarlet thread upon his hand, signifying this one came out first. But from the travail of the second one, the desire of the second one, not knowing he was putting himself in the position that he was putting him in, but the Bible says it was the travail of the second child. Somehow, I can't explain it, it's only in God's records. He reached up and grabbed the heel of his brother and said, uh-uh, you're not going out first. They may have already tied the scarlet thread on your hand, but you're not getting that birthright, and you're not going back. And he must have yanked him back, and he came shooting out. And no doubt there was a surprised midwife. She said, this one doesn't have a scarlet thread, and he was supposed to come out first. What has happened? Fares, his name means breakthrough. They named him Breakthrough because he broke through. Fares, the Bible teaches us, had an anointing upon him from his mother's womb that enabled him to break through impossibilities. And the customary situations and the traditions of childbirth and the medical expectancy of what should have happened was all abolished, because there was a kid from his mother's womb that had an anointing and a travail and a desire to break through. And if you have the travail of God in our soul today, I don't care how bad the situation may be, I don't care what you are facing, I don't care what you are up against, the Holy Ghost will allow us to have a spiritual breakthrough. When you break through, you won't be normal. Now, I'm going to get off on a little wild tangent today, because I've been a little wild for the past year since I had a breakthrough in my life last August. My life has been changed. I told about it at General Conference, but God turned me inside out. I finally reached the point where I don't care what people think about me, and I don't care how crazy they think I am, and I don't care how wild I get for Jesus Christ. I have reached the point now where I am ready to get turned on totally for Jesus Christ. I am to a point to where whatever the Holy Ghost wants to do, I'm ready for the Holy Ghost to do it. I want the Holy Ghost to move in our congregation in Ellick like never before. Anthony Mangan has moved out of the way, and I'm allowing the Holy Ghost to take the reins. But the breakthrough of Fares did something great for him. It put him in the lineage of the greatest man that ever lived. For when you read Matthew, the first chapter, verses 3 through 16, and Judas begat Fares and Zorah of Tamar, and Fares begat Ezram, and Ezram begat Aram. And you go to verse 16 through all those begets. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. That breakthrough that Fares had put him in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet we are living in an hour where so few preachers and so few laity desire to have a spiritual breakthrough. Pentecostals, if we can just make it to heaven, if we can just survive, if we can just have good services, if we can go through our Pentecostal rituals and our Pentecostal catechisms and just have church, everything will be fine. I am past that point. I am not satisfied to just have church. I am not satisfied with just songs. I am not satisfied with just a good music program. I am not satisfied with just a good youth program. I am not satisfied with just a new building. I am still desiring. I am still hungering. I am still thirsting for a revival to sweep the land. I am still hungry for a mighty outpouring of the Spirit of God in my individual life. David had many mighty men, but the Bible said he had three mighty men. And if you will read 1 Chronicles 11, 17 through 19, how they got the water. How did they get the water from the wells of Bethlehem? The verse says, they broke through. They went through the garrison of the Philistines. The three mighty men broke through. There is an enemy. There is a fight. But you cannot think about quitting. Of all of David's mighty men, only three of them broke through. But they had the Fares. They had the breakthrough. They had the unusual experience. And in this convention, we have been on our face this morning. And thank God for the message that we have heard. Thank God for the breaking that Brother Kilgore preached about. And as we wept, as we knelt, there was a breakthrough inside of us. But God wants to do something from this point on in this meeting that we haven't had in any other meeting. There has to be a desire, as he ended the message on. I am not satisfied with my ministry. I am not satisfied with the church I pastor. I'm not satisfied with where I am. I'm not satisfied with the other baby being born first. I am not going to leave this meeting until I have a breakthrough. I don't care what Brother Mitchell does. I don't care what Brother Arnold does. I don't care what Brother Young does. I don't care what Brother Mangan does. But before I leave this meeting, I'm going to get what I came here after. I'm going to have a breakthrough in my life. If there is to be a breakthrough, that means you have to break through something. And we are in a battle. But this book says, and if such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. This verse is not talking about our own strength, but it's talking about the strength of God that comes to us when we get in the battle. God is powerful. God is mighty. And His name is the Lord of armies. And those of us who know Him by that name will have to display the strength, because He is a God of strength and He is a God of action. God is great. God is good. God is wise. But there are two other attributes that stand out in addition to those about God. God is not only great. God is not only good. God is not only wise, but the God that dwells inside our bodies,
that God is all-powerful and that God is active. I am here today to remind us God is a God of power and God is a God of might. And He wants His people that's called by His name, that's bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh, to be people of power and people of might. The Scripture says, for we wrestle not. And that's where a lot of us stop. Oh, we don't have to wrestle. No, no. It says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle against principalities. Remember, we're talking about a spiritual breakthrough. We do wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We wrestle not, yes, against flesh and blood, but we do wrestle against spirits, against power, and against forces. And if you're a pastor or you're a preacher in this place and you have not been attacked by the evil forces of hell, I wonder if you're doing anything for God. Somebody said, I came here in a battle. Good! That lets me know the enemy's still against you. Anybody that the enemy's not fighting you and you're not in a battle here today, you're probably cold, indifferent, and lukewarm. Everybody says, well, what about that great church in Alexandria? There is no great church in Alexandria. There is a good church in Alexandria. But I am here to tell you, as good as that church is, there's some battles going on right now. I'm battling for marriages right now. I'm battling for homes right now. I'm battling for people's individual lives right now. I'm battling for circumstances right now. We are in a battle like we've never been in a battle. And this book that we have is not some dry theological dissertation, but it is a vivid, exciting story of God in action. The God that called us to preach is a God of action. This book is a historical account of His judgment, His redemption, His deliverance, and His restoration. This book is nothing but about a bunch of people that were people of action. They were people who acted. When you read God's Hall of Fame chapter, in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, it tells us about such people. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Moses and others. The writer of Hebrews explains why God favored those people. Hebrews 11, 33 and 34. Who through faith, they subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness, they were made strong. They waxed violent in the fight. They turned to flight the armies of the aliens. One version says, they became mighty when they got in the war. They didn't get mighty going to war. They became mighty when they got in the war. Those two verses are verses full of action. Subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed violent in the fight, and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. All of those are action words. And God favored those people because they acted on their faith. And one important point we can learn from these people is, although God will not condone unrighteousness, nor will God condone our faults and our failures, He has overlooked some awfully dumb things that dumb people did, even in the book of Hebrews. You say, well, I made mistakes trying this, or in the gifts of the Spirit, or with that, or with that. Look at the book of Hebrews. Moses was a powerful man, but he made mistakes. He didn't have a halo around his head. He lost his temper. He hit the rock at Meribah and spoke harshly to the people. He also was a murderer. He tried to settle a fight in Egypt, and it ended up killing a man. But look what the Bible said about him. When he was 120, the Bible said his eyesight was not dim and his voice was not abated. In other words, in his old age, he was still virile. He wasn't a man who just quoted Bible verses. He was a man of power. He was a man of action. And even though he made mistakes, even though he disappointed himself, even though there were times he had valleys, he still knew how to grab on his bootstraps. And at 120 years of age, his eyesight was not dim, and he was still a man of power. We're going to have to wake our churches up that there's more to being good. Thank God for the standards. Thank God for everything we have. I thank God for the good people of Alexandria. But let me tell you, holiness standards and holiness standards alone is not just going to bring the power of God. That's going to bring us our separation, and we must contend for those things and not separation. But a telephone pole don't go drinking. A telephone pole doesn't go dancing. A telephone pole doesn't go to movies. A telephone pole doesn't do a lot of things. We can have good people sitting on pews that are just good people. But God doesn't want just good people. He wants people that's full of the Holy Ghost. He wants people that's full of fire. He wants people that's full of the dynamics of Almighty God. Abraham was a great man. But he lied about his wife, telling Pharaoh was his sister. He even gave her to him because he was in a tight spot. But remember this, there was something about Abraham that God liked. When Abraham heard the word of God, he displayed strength. He displayed faith, and he took action, and he moved, to obey. It was action. It was action. God needs people and preachers and pastors and evangelists in 1989. God needs those who know their God and who will act. Take action on what we've heard at all of our conferences. Take action on things that we hear in this meeting. Take action. Step out by faith. It's time we start moving in the Holy Ghost. Allow the gifts of the Spirit to operate. We are at a crossroads. Brother, and anybody listening to this tape, and you only got my tape, you need to get Brother Kilgore's tape. For all of you that's listening to the tape ministry, you need to hear his tape before you hit this tape. But we are at a crossroads in this movement. There's those that would love to try to destroy the apostolic gifts. There are those that would love to relegate us to a denomination. There are those that would love to hold everything down and not allow the move of God and not allow Quest to take off and not allow revival to come. They'll run down everything anybody tries to do. Anything our general superintendent tries to go revival, they'll criticize it from top to bottom, because down inside, they're not men and women of action. If we're going to do anything for God, we're going to have to step out from among the trees, step out from among the men, and say, I'm not going to relegate myself to some dead, dry dissertation. I am going to be a man that acts with the Spirit and the power and the glory of God. I tell you, I've been in Hebrews 11. Too many times I've just gone through it to build other people's faith. But I found out they were just ordinary men who had an extraordinary faith. Two of their characteristics stood out to me when I studied them. First of all, in Hebrews 11, they were men who had been weak but were made strong. God, take our weaknesses. Take those of us that's had our head down in the mud. Those of us that's been dragging. Those of us that think we're weak. Let us know we can become strong. We do understand their talents. There are 5 talented men. There are 3 talented men. There are 1 talented man. Therefore, God says, don't compare yourself among yourself. You will do wise in not doing that. But let me tell you what you would be wise in doing. Comparing yourself with yourself. And seeing if you're doubling that talent. Seeing where the devil has put you in the last few months. What kind of attitude are you here with in this convention? Is there a defeatism attitude? A defeat attitude? Is there a dragging attitude? Is there a spirit of defeat resting upon you? It may be, but my message is to us, when we are weak, we can become strong. The second thing that I learned from the study of Hebrews 11 is this. They didn't become mighty until they got into battle. It wasn't they became mighty and then they went to battle. It was when the battle came, they got strong. They found themselves in a battle, and when in it, they became mighty because of one thing, they fought. And if we want to be strong, we can only do it by engaging in the battle. Yes, every one of us are in a battle. The devil knows he has but a short time to work. He's seeking whom he may devour. He's out to destroy everything he can destroy. But any spiritual thing, anything in life, those fellas you see walking through the mall with those shirts on, got the little strap. They call them muscle shirts. You see them walking through the mall, and their arms are sticking out, and they're all puffed up, and they look like I look. I just, you know, with the coat on, you can't tell it. But they walk through, they're all puffed up. You know, they didn't get that way just sitting at home. They got that way by being down at the President's Club, or down at the Racquetball Club, or wherever. And there was 140, then there was 230, and then there was 460, and there was resistance. But by that resistance, that's what made those things begin to poke out. That's what made them strong. Where there was resistance, they gained strength. And though all of hell may be coming against you, though every devil in hell may be turned loose against you and your church, you keep on a pumping. You keep on a pushing, because you're building strong vessels to defeat the devil. You're in a battle, good. I'm glad you came here, because I was in one. I've come here in a battle. And when I go home, we're going to still be in a battle. But good, because when you get in the battle, Jesus joins us. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I wish we would do more than quote that. I'm trying to build your faith today. I wish we would do more than quote that. I wish we would believe He's the God of yesterday. I wish we would believe that He's the God that took care of Moses and Abraham, and Hebrews 11 can take care of us. We're to overthrow Satan's kingdom. I want to tell the devil something today. I'm declaring war on him like I've never declared war on him. I'm not running. I'm not tucking my head. I'm not turning my back. I want the devil to know in this convention that we're going to take action. That man that just preached to me, there's some things broke inside of me. My spirit's lifted up right now. After Brother Kilgore preached, I got a new desire to go home for revival. I got a new desire to go home and face some things. You let that devil poke his head up where he's been poking his head. My faith has already been lifted just in the past few hours of being in this meeting. Glory of the Lord is resting upon us. Brother Mitchell and I were talking last night. We've got troubles here and we've got troubles there. Reminds me of the cartoon where the chicken was. And in the first caption, there's an egg. And in the second caption, there's a crack in the egg. And in the third caption, the chicken starts poking his head out. And in the fourth caption, the eggshell falls down. And in the fifth caption, he looks to the right and there's trouble. And in the sixth caption, he looks to the left and there's trouble. Seventh caption, he looks to the front and the back and there's nothing but trouble. And the eighth caption, he's getting back in the shell. And in the ninth caption, the eggshell's back over him and he goes back into the egg. Hey, preacher's wife, I wish sometimes I could just go get back in the eggshell. See, I'm being honest with you today. Rest of you want to admit you've been fighting devils. Rest of you want to admit you've been discouraged. The only man I ever know hadn't been discouraged is my dad. I don't even think he has a down day. But outside of him, I don't know too many people hadn't fought some devils. I wanted to go get in a number of times, get in the egg shell and just say, oh, God. No, I'm tired of counseling. I'm counseled out. I want to cancel it out. Tired of trying to help marriages and trying to help people. So we all let the exhale. There's trouble there. There's trouble there. There's trouble in the front. There's trouble in the back. There's trouble, trouble, trouble. We grab that scripture at David said, oh, that I had wings that I might fly away. Oh, he was talking about a rapture. That wasn't what he's talking about. You're taking that scripture totally out of context. You read where he was. He was as discouraged as he could be. He was as low as he could come. Just say, oh, God, I'm so tired of fighting. I just wish I had wings. I'd get out of all this mess. I'll just run, God, if you'll help me. We'll get away from the devil. Wings! Fighting! Like the boy woke up Sunday morning. He said, Mama, I don't feel like going to church today. Huh, well, what's your problem, son? He said, two reasons. I said, well, what's those two reasons, son? He said, two reasons. Number one, I don't like the people. I said, well, that's pretty good reason. Said, what's the second one? Said, number two, it looks like the people can't stand me. She said, well, son, that's two pretty good reasons. But let me tell you why you ought to go. Number one, you're 42. And number two, you're their pastor. Have you ever felt that? They don't like me and I don't like them. There's action. There's fight. We need to remember the contract we've signed with God. Thank God for what Brother Kilgore said on naming and claiming and blabbing and grabbing. We need to go back and look what we signed. This isn't the crown-wearing religion. You need to look at the contract. He signed something with you. You take up your crown? No! He said, take up your cross and follow me. This is a cross-bearing religion, not a crown-wearing one yet. But if you bear the cross, you'll wear the crown. What are you doing today, Brother Mangan? I'm trying to get some of you that's down. I'm trying to get some of you that the devil's been working on you to flex your muscles, to stand up and realize who's on your side, that you've got Jesus fighting with you. You've got the name of the Lord resting upon you. Go ahead, brother. Praise the Lord. Come on, God, baptize us with boldness. Today, baptize us with holy boldness. Let the Holy Ghost breathe on us. In the name of Jesus, I bind every spirit of oppression right now. I take the authority over it. I cast it out of this room. I take the authority over every spirit of depression. I cast it out of this room. Over spirits of frustration. Over spirits of doubt. Over spirit of envy and strife. I bind it and I cast it out. I command it to go. I loose your spirit in this place today, God. I loose your power. I loose that anointing. I loose the glory. I loose holy boldness. I loose a fresh anointing. I loose a new touch in the name of Jesus. Come on, preacher, break through. Come on, Fares. Don't let somebody else get your blessing. Don't let that baby be born in front of you. Yank it back. Hey, God, here I am. I'm going to break through. I'm going to break through. Battle through it, preacher. In the name of Jesus, back the devil off of you now. Throw your head high. God call you, you're called of Him. The Holy Ghost indwells you. The Holy Ghost infuses you. Let the gifts operate in your life now. Let God do a new thing. You may be seated. Come on, Jesus.
We're in no hurry today. You baptize us. You change us. You turn us inside out. You give us a spirit of fight. You give us a spirit of boldness. You let we preachers throw our shoulders back. In an hour, God, when we're walking in the decade of destiny, don't let there be a bunch of lip-wrist pansy preachers that's afraid to proclaim your name and hold up miracle signs and wonders and the power and the glory. Let that unction flow out of us. Let that unction flow out of us, oh God. Hit us at the bottom of our belly, Lord, and let those rivers begin to flow afresh and new in this place, Jesus. Come on, brother, get what you want. That's just what God wants. You get what you want today. Go ahead. You have your breakthrough today. Huh? Go ahead and have your breakthrough. Come on out of the mully grubs. Come on, preacher. I don't care what's happened to you. I don't care who's let you down. I don't care who discouraged you. I don't care who's talking about you. I don't care who's lied on you. Come on. Have your breakthrough. Get through that thing. Put the turbulence on the back of the plane. Have your breakthrough. You may be seated. Yes. You think David would have ever thought about taking his sheep to that pasture if he would have known a lion was coming that day? You think David would have ever thought about taking his sheep in that valley if he thought he was going to have to whip a bear that day? No. He had no idea that the bear was coming. He had no idea that the lion was coming. He didn't get his strength before they got there. But when they got there, he got the strength. He became mighty when the bear showed up. He became mighty when the lion showed up. And when the Philistines had his brothers' ears pinned to the floor, and his daddy said, "Son, take your brother some cheese. Take it over there to him. Get him some cheese and cracker." He went over to his brothers and he walked there, and that uncircumcised Philistine was screaming out against God's people and had them confused and frustrated and cowed down. And David said, "Boys, what's going on here?" They said, "We're in a battle and we're scared to death." And I love the way David answered in 1 Samuel 17 and 26. He didn't even wonder about if it was going to be one. He said, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine?" I love it. It wasn't a matter whether he was going to kill him. He just wanted to know how big the cheese for Christ's plaque was going to be. How big is the trophy, boys, for the man that kills him? You're going to freshen the pot because I'm getting ready to take care of him. Why? I can't do it going to battle. Yeah, I'm just as scared as you are, but I've already been in some battles. And I know when you're in the battle, when you're fighting a lion, when you're fighting a bear, God will always show up. He didn't call me to preach to leave me alone. He didn't put me in Alexandria to leave me by myself. He didn't allow me to evangelize all that. Every time I've been in a battle, God has always showed up. That Philistine said, "You come to me." 1 Samuel 17:44. "Come to me and I will give thy flesh into the fowl." Here's that old Philistine. And I don't want to mess up those chairs, so I'll get up here on this thing. Here's that old Philistine. "Come to me! Come to me! Come to me!" I love what David does. "Okay, I come to you. You want me to come to you? I come to you. But not in my might and power. I come to you, devil, in the name of the Lord." If the devil's saying, "Come on,
look back at him and say, okay, devil, I do come, but I don't come to you with sword and shield. I don't come to you wrestling in flesh and blood. I come to you in the power and the demonstration and the glory of the Holy Ghost. Brother Mangan, you don't know what I'm up against. You don't know what I'm up against. But you don't know what I'm... You don't know what I'm fighting. But can God... You've already eliminated God. If you say can God, you need to move the can. It's not can God, it's God can. If you put can in front of God, you've eliminated Him. But if you put it behind Him, you put Him where He belongs. It's not can God, God can. That's what you need to leave here saying today. God can, God can, God can, God can, God can, God can. Kingdom of heaven suffers violence. That means it's going to get violent. Hey, everybody, wake up. It's going to get violent. Kingdom of heaven suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. It's time you get mad at the devil as he is at you. It's time we get as mad at the devil as he is at us. Kingdom of heaven suffered violence, but the violence take it by force. It's time we become spiritual Mike Tysons. Karate experts. Come on, devil. You want it? Let's get after it. Come on. I'm tired of you intimidating me. I'm tired of you binding my services. I'm tired of you binding my ministry. I've taken authority over you with holy boldness. Takes violent people. Move out of my way. Where are you going? I'm getting to Jesus. Is anybody else? I don't know if anybody else is or not, but move out of my way. Who are you? I'm the Syrophoenician woman. You may not get your healing, but I'm going to get it. You may not have a breakthrough, but I'm going to get it. Move out of my way. Whew, Jesus, somebody touch me. Oh Lord, many touch you. No, you don't understand. At Mark 89, somebody who was desperate, somebody who was at the end of the road, somebody who had a need way beyond anything that any board could do for him, somebody that was desperate, touch me. Did she get it? Did she get it? But she didn't get it sitting, nor standing, nor watching. She got it pushing her way through the crowd. She got it, I'm making my mind up. I'm going to Jesus, and nothing's going to stop me. Men tearing off roof. The Bible says the crowd was there so strong that they pressed him. I heard one preacher preach one time against radio and against newspaper and against everything else. He said, because the Bible says the press was against him. They couldn't get to him. That's not the press that he's talking about right there. But they start taking the roof off that little hut or wherever it was. And here comes that Paul's man just floating down through the air. Odd, eccentric, yes. But they knew the man inside the building held the answer to all their problems. And if they could get him to Jesus, everything would be taken care of. And here he comes, brother. That's faith. That's boldness. That's holy faith. That's not taking no for an answer. Talk about the Syrophoenician lady. The Syrophoenician lady that came to Jesus. Lord, my daughter is demon possessed. And Jesus looked at her, and oh boy, if he would have done this in Alexandria, he'd have lost half of the church. He called her, all but called her, a dog. He said, I can't take the children's bread and give it to the dogs. Half of the congregation would have said, he called me a dog. My pastor preached on standard, or he let something down, and he really offended me. I'm moving my letter to another church. I'm gone. Not her. I'm desperate. I'm violent. I'm at Mark 89 beside myself. I didn't come here just to hear Mangan, Huntley, or Brother Kilgore, or Brother Cole, or any of the other great preachers they brought in. I didn't come here just to hear preaching. I've come here hungry. I've come here desperate. I've fought the devil as far as I can fight him. I'm going to leave here with a new touch. I may have a limp in my walk. My name may be changed, but I'm going to leave this meeting differently than I came. My mind's made up. But Master,
But Master, even the dogs get the crumbs. He said, I haven't seen anything like that. He said, because of your violent, reckless faith, because you wasn't satisfied to be a card-carrying United Pentecostal Church preacher, I'm going to jump all the way over Calvary, and I'm going to take you into another dispensation. And when you get home, the devils will be gone out of your daughter. Who's coming? Who's coming? Who's that coming? That's Jesus. Jesus. That's the man that opens a blind eye. And I'm blind. Jesus! Jesus! And here comes the... No, I won't say that. Here comes... No, I won't say that. Here comes those, let me say, that's not blind. That's being nice. Don't do that. We don't want angels and gifts of the Spirit and demonstration and Holy Ghost. Don't do that. You make us uncomfortable. Don't give us that kind of preaching. Don't tell us about healing, miracles, signs, and wonders. Well, why? Because He's coming to our town. And back in the 50s and 60s we had, but now everybody's talking in tongues and lovely, and we've got to appeal to a certain, sir, you're not blind, but I am. You may not be fighting devils like I am, but I am. You may not be up against things, but I am. And that's the I am. He got louder. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy. No, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Boy, look back there. Hey, y'all keep standing. Hey, preachers, look back there. Stand up, all you that's standing. Every one of those school kids were standing. Give them a hand. Would you do that? Hey, you got an insight to worship back there. That's fantastic. Four of the most powerful words that's in the Bible come right there at the blind man scene. And Jesus! Shut up. I'm preaching this message. I'll get you back to your neck. Stood still! Ignorant, no good slob. That man... such a desperation. He stopped Jesus dead in his tracks, and Jesus stood still. Well, God hadn't been hearing me. God hadn't been stopping today. Jesus, you're not getting past here. I don't care what else is on the agenda. I don't care what else may happen. You're not getting past me. You're stopping. Go ahead, brother, run. You're stopping dead in the tracks. You're not going to get past me, Jesus. Stopping. No, Jesus, you're not getting away from here. God, get what I want. How bad do you want it? That's the question now. How bad do you want it? You may be seated. Come up here, slob. I want you to help me. Come up here. Your Bible will do too. Bring it with you. Mark 6:48. Get up here. You're next. Anyway, I'm just about through. I just may hand it to you. We may do a relay here. Give him a microphone. I want him to help me read. They just came out of Mark 89. He had just fed the 5,000. Okay? You understand that? That was just the men, not counting the women and the children. That was Mark 89. That was camp meeting. That was because of time. Does any meeting you want to name? They just came out of it. He just said, boys, go to the other side. And the boy sat down. I'm going up in the mountain to pray. And so they get up in the mountain to pray. And here goes the people doing what God told them to do. And they run into a stone. And Jesus is up there praying. And they just came out of a camp meeting wanting to fight every devil. It came along, and all of a sudden, the boat's taking on water, and the wind is a-blowing, and they're coming against everything, and that's bad. Oh, God, I'm out of your will, Lord. I thought you called me to this city. I thought you put me here to pastor this church, God. I've never seen such a storm. Oh, God, where am I? I'm confused. I'm losing direction. Which way is even to the other side? I don't even know where the other side is. That's bad, isn't it? But now that's just the cake. Here comes the icing. Read 6:48 of Mark.
And he saw them toiling.
And he saw them what?
Toiling.
That's bad, folks. Jesus looks down. He tells you to get there. He puts you in a storm. And then he sits there and watches you. Hey, boy.
Yeah.
Oh, God. And Jesus up there, how y'all doing, boys?
Come on, brother.
Yeah.
Come on.
What are they doing? What? They were
toiling.
And
rowing.
Oh! I must be out of the will of God. No, he told me to come here. He's what told me to go to the other side. God! What's going on? Keep reading.
For the wind was contrary.
The wind was against them. Go.
And about the fourth watch of the night.
Yeah, go.
He cometh unto them.
Uh-huh.
Walking upon the sea.
Okay.
And would have passed by them.
Now that puts the candle on top of it. He sees them falling and a rowing. Oh, God, I've never been in such a battle in this church. My board's again. Everything's going down. God, the devil's tearing it up. It don't look like anybody's going to be saved. Nobody loves the truth but me. I'm the only one standing for anything, God. Everything's falling. Oh, God. And here comes Jesus. Oh, there he comes. Praise the Lord. He's going to give me deliverance. And then he goes as if he's going to pass them by. Hello, boys. How y'all doing? Not only does he see them tall and rowing, then he just acts like he's going on past them. See y'all later, boys. Hope you enjoy the storm. Keep up the fight. It's nice up here in heaven. Everything's going lovely. Already got me a church in the ground. Now you the church that lies and remain. Let's see how you handle it. But desperate disciples. No! No, no, Lord! And they became desperate. And they began to cry out. And one question, they stopped God. One question more, did God get in the boat? One question more, did the storm cease? One question more, did they get to the other side? Yes! He didn't say there wasn't going to be winds. He didn't say there wasn't going to be storms. He said, get in the boat, you'd make it to the other side! And that's where they ended up. I want to tell you something today in the Holy Ghost, and I'm closing. You stay strong in God. You let all the hell come against you. You let the devil fight. You just keep your faith in God. He's never failed. He's never let us down. Hey, Judge. Judge. A judge that didn't fear God nor man. Unjust judge. Hey, Judge! No, you're not going to have it. I don't fear God. I don't fear man. I'm not going to do it for you. Oh, yes, you are. Or you're going to have to get elected in another district. Because who's ever judge in this district, I'm going to bug him every day. Judge! Forgive me of my adversary. Judge! Forgive me of my adversary. I won't quit. And Brother Jesus looked and he told us that story and left it with us. And that woman got her answer. But what I want to show you is look how he ended that parable. When I come, will I find faith? That means it is going to get rough. That means it's going to get tough. That means all the hell's going to break loose. He said, it may get so bad, will I even find it? Will I have anybody that'll stand? I want the devil to know in Mark 89, when he comes, there is going to be a group of men. There is going to be a group of women. No matter what we go through, he's going to find faith. Will he find faith? How many's ever preached on this? Simon Peter. Jesus talking to him. Satan hath desired thee to sift thee as wheat. But remember, I prayed for you. I have ended that statement right there a number of times. I've told people, folks, when you're down, remember, Jesus is praying for you. But the main part of that story is, notice what his prayer is. That your faith fail not. He just didn't pray, God give him strength, God be with him, God take care of him, God give him revival. He said, no, in the last days, in the 80s and 89s, and the beginning of a decade, when hells are turning loose, and dope demons and lust demons and filth are turned loose on your churches, and when worldliness is running rampant, he said, you remember when you're discouraged, and when you don't feel like lifting your hands, and when nobody's I'm there praying for you, that your faith fail not. there's anything we need to become out of this meeting, it is people of action. It is people of might. We need to look the devil square in the face and say, come on, devil. I want you to know I may go down to nothing but 10 left in my church. It may be me and my wife and my... Got my mind made up. I got my foot on the rock and my mind made up.
Well, I also have my mind made up, and there's no going back. What a wonderful message. Love Talk Mom?
Yes, ma'am.
Wasn't that a good message?
Oh, Brother Mangan can preach. I remember one time he was at Brother Beckton's church speaking, and Jim, my husband, was there. He turned around, looked at me, and said, "That man can preach." It was really, really sweet. That's a message too that we all need to hear.
Yes, very timely.
I appreciate you and Wild Bill for spending so much time putting things together like that for us, because it's needful. It's to stir us up, and because you do get comfortable. Or you do get, I guess, just self-centered in your own situation, your own problems, and you quit taking hold and getting in the middle of the battle and knowing that there is a battle. So that's really great.
Well, we have Wild Bill with us.
All right.
Wild Bill, how are you tonight?
I am on fire. I tell you what, that message is just so powerful when you stop and think about the words. You know, it's great that he speaks so well, but when you stop and think about what he was actually saying there, how we get where we just, I don't know how to put it into words. We allow things to come in and to batter us and beat us, and those things are going to come against us. But when you understand the position that God's put us in, the promises he's given us, to know that we're going to be victorious, that not just for ourselves but for other people, for lost family members, for our cities, for other weaker brothers and sisters in the church where, you know, we want to, you know, this message was back in the 80s. And you don't hear a lot of messages like that anymore. And I'm not saying Brother Mangan doesn't preach like that, but there's still, we've gotten into a point to where messages are more of the feel-good thing. We want to spend about a 15-minute sermon and not really get into the meat of the word and look at accountability to understand what God was actually saying to his people. To understand that he's saying, yeah, you're going to go through storms, but you got to get to the other side. That's where I've told you to go. Yeah, I've given you a promise, but you got to get there. You got to carry that cross. There's an accountability. How bad do you want it? Just how bad do you really want it? Yeah, you know, you may have a brother or sister that, you know, they may be a thorn in your side. But are you going to let that hinder you from letting God do what he wants to do with your life? To realize we all have different callings. We all have different talents. You know, just we're to do with what God's given us and just to stand up on faith and believe. And that where he ended that, where God said, is there going to be any of faith? Is there going to be any more people? Am I going to find people of faith? And you just, man, I tell you what, you talk about a message that stirred me to realize I want to be what he was talking about. I want that turned inside out, understand less of me, more of God. Where I am weak, he is strong. I crave with a desire that I've never had before for that to be my walk with God, to be able to do the things that he's called us to do, to be that salt, to be that light, to be that vessel, that conduit that can touch other people as we've never touched them before. And I just pray that somebody out there, that this will stir them as it has me to understand that God's coming back. He's looking for people of faith, not people that know the word faith, not people that can talk to scriptures and talk about faith. He's looking for people that have faith and really believe the things that the Bible says about who God is, what he wants to do, what he wants his people to do, and applies that to their life. Not just say, I know the scriptures, I know the words, yada, yada, yada. He's wanting action in our lives like we've never had before. Is it dark? Yeah, it's dark out there. Is it evil? It's more evil now than what it was when he preached this message. So what does that mean? We need to be shining up our lenses. We need to be letting our light shine. We need to proclaim the truth of the gospel. We don't need to back up, sit down, back crawl, hide our head in shame or whatever. It's time for God's people to stand up and say, yes, today I'm claiming lost souls in the name of Jesus. Lord, give me a burden for my city. Lord, let me go in positions that I may not be comfortable with, that I can maybe be a light to someone that needs me to be a light in their life. And I just tell you what, this message, it fired me up when I was listening to that. You know, I've heard it now several times. I thought, this is the one I feel for tonight. And so I pray, and I really believe that that's going to do something for someone just like it did for me. So sorry I didn't mean to get so excited and go on so long, but I'm telling you what, that stirred up the Holy Ghost inside of me.
Amen. That's good preaching, Wild Bill.
Yes, it is.
That's wonderful. If anybody is listening, I didn't ask you if I could do this, but can I do something? Yeah, if anybody's listening and they are real fired up over this message and they want to do something, I have some children that need financial assistance. And Wild Bill can give you my mailing address, and somebody can send me some help. Something. I want to share that I was, I guess, about 5:30, maybe 5:45 today. I was very discouraged. I didn't know which way to go about a situation that was very extreme, and I came in and called someone to pray with me about it. And I got off the phone and I sat very quietly and I listened. I knew what my voice was saying and I knew what the voice of the enemy was saying. But I wanted to hear what God was saying. And so he led me again to Philippians and he said in the 4th chapter, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. It goes on, but all of a sudden I felt faith. I felt the depression lift. I went to where I had already made my mind I wasn't going to go. I went anyway. There was a mighty move of God. And the very children that I was so burdened for were there. And God did a miracle. And, you know, if we go into battle, well, let's go into battle with peace, knowing that God has gone before us and that his name is all-powerful and that he is the God that created the world and can continue to create anything that we will believe him for because he is our Savior. It's not between us and the devil. No, I don't think so. I don't think I have to rail at the devil. What I have to do is keep Sister Bobby lively in the grace and the mercy and the favor of God, and then God will do the rest. Thank you, Jesus, that you are our Redeemer. Sold into slavery as we were, Lord, you redeemed us and bought us back and gave us life. And I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Bless each one that's listened to this wonderful message from Brother Mangan. Bless Wild Bill, Starla, Sister Starla, Lord, just give her strength and blessing and favor. And all of our children and grandchildren, Lord, bring them in, dear God. In this very hour, you are powerful, Lord. Redeem them. Turn them, dear God. This very moment, Lord, wherever they are, trillions of angels, God, and turn this world around to you while there's time. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. That's a message, isn't it?
a mighty message. God is so good. Mighty message. Praise God. I want to share a mighty praise report tonight. My brother-in-law has had neck surgery, and he has bouts of depression. He's a workaholic, and he has avoided God for so many years. My sister has been so devoted and so faithful. She cleans the church, and, you know, she doesn't miss a service. And they have a revival going on this week. And her husband twice has been slain in the spirit.
Ooh, hallelujah.
And, oh, God is so good. He is so good.
Wow. Glory. That is a praise report. Wow.
Yes, and he is in the surgery. It was on the back of his neck, the nerves in his spine. Scary, scary surgery. And God is healing him, and he has regained strength that he hasn't had in so many years. And we're just going to believe that God is going to do a mighty work and heal him. He's a very serious diabetic, and I really believe that God is going to heal him.
That is so wonderful.
God is real amazing. God really is doing a mighty work.
Amen. I mean, I'm hearing of miracles and healings just every day. Someone's telling me about someone being a lady who was delivered from a 20-something-year heroin addiction. And, I mean, she just glows with the glory of God. And there's a man was healed of lymphoma cancer. And I went, you know, for the carotid artery, and it's not anywhere near what it was a year ago. It's emptying out, and they said that just don't hardly happen or ever happen. I understood, but you know, God's good. He can do whatever. Praise the Lord.
We've lost Wild Bill. Do you have anything else you want to share with us?
No, I just got so carried away a while ago. I covered the whole nine yards, and it was so precious. Joy Bells earlier today texted me, made sure that I knew that my son was going to be this program. I don't know, it was just real cute, however she worded it. You know, it was just real sweet, because we know that she got us started on this and played a tremendous role in all of us continuing in it, don't you think? Well, I know you do.
Yeah. We'll be praying for Wild Bill this weekend. He's going to be preaching on Sunday, and I wish you could be there. I just love to hear him preach. I really, really do. And I'm not prejudiced. He just is.
I believe you are prejudiced now. No.
But
I would love to be there. And Joy Bells wanted to come too, but financially and other, you know, things, I just we're not living all that close to each other. But our prayers, and I wish you could pray. Maybe we can get him a revival closer.
Well,
so then that'd be hard on you, because with jobs, it's just difficult. It seems like, but I feel this program is the highlight of my week, as far as I know. And all the months that you've had it, I don't think I've ever missed a service. And tonight, the altar call, everything was going on, and I mean, when 9 o'clock, I was heading for the house. don't want to miss
it so much.
It seems like there is a special anointing, though. Don't you agree?
I do agree.
It's very strong, and I know other people have to be being blessed by it, and so I appreciate y'all for being so faithful and putting it together. I really do.
Well, would you like to close our show tonight in prayer?
Well, I was, like I said, I think I hit passing gear a while ago, but I would Because, you know, Sister Starla, what Brother Mangan said and what Wild Bill said, and the minister tonight was referring to the scripture that I really never did understand all that well, or sort of annoyed me, about when Lot, when they were going to come out of Sodom and Gomorrah, and Lot reasoned with the men, the people that were so horrible. And he said, well, you can just even take my daughters, you know, just don't touch these men that are here. And he brought, I never had seen this before, but, you know, it's just always the children that are being sacrificed because of the life that, that America seems to have chosen of a very wild, a very, I don't want to judge anybody, but anyway, children are suffering. They are suffering greatly, being pulled from one area to another, one place to another, one home to another. It's just a very, very difficult thing. And so let's everyone that's listening and will listen later, let's pray, because in that story, the angels went out and blinded the ones that were going to attack against them. And I believe that when we get right with God and we're where we're supposed to be, in the house, in the family of God, then Satan is blinded. He may want, I mean, he's sure, I'm sure he has indigestion like everything, you know, whatever. But he's blinded. He cannot do any more than he is allowed to do. He is on a leash, and we do not have to fear him. And the Bible says when we submit to God and resist him, he will flee from us in terror, or he will flee. And one version said in terror. Jesus used the word of God to let us know that it will be effective. Lord Jesus, Almighty God, Creator of the world, we ask now in your precious name, the name above all names, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And Lord, we understand that means salvation, and it also means rescued from every situation. Lord, we plead that blood. We ask God. We know when we say we plead the blood that that is the mark that puts Satan in his place. And we believe it, we rejoice in it, and we ask God that throughout every home, every country, every nation, every one that would listen, that they will feel your presence, hear this message that was given tonight, and turn and be ready for whatever each one of us has been placed on this earth to do and fulfill. Lord, we have a purpose. We were placed here to do that above all else. Let us not be deterred in any way, discouraged in any way, distracted in any way, but to keep our eyes upon you, the Savior of our lives, to keep our eyes upon you, O God, who you are, what you are, and what you have given us. We rejoice in you, dear God, this day. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen.
Well, we want to thank everyone for listening tonight, and we hope you'll be with us again next week at your place.